Hello, my sweet children of the programmer. It is I, Duncan Trussell, and you have focused your attention temporarily on the DTFH podcast. I welcome you. It's been an evolutionary last few days for this podcast. We have completely revised and upgraded the website thanks to my friends over at Squarespace.com and the geniuses at Twin Collective. The snake that was DuncanTrussell.com has shed its skin. The former website now just a digital effluvia rising somewhere in the forgotten waters of the River of Time. And now we've got a brand new website. You can check it out at DuncanTrussell.com. It's beautiful. The colors are rich. And if you put your nose to your sticky, pubic hair encrusted computer screen and take a smell of that website, you will smell the sum total of a million angel farts mixed in with some kind of fresh plastic, oceanic, salty smell, a combination of something supremely organic and fertile mixed in with that crystalline sweetness of the singularity, which that smell which wafts towards us in greater and greater abundance as we move closer to that state of ultimate complexity and ultimate harmonization prognosticated by the Jesuit priest Teilhard de Chardin and more recently by the great psychedelic philosopher Terence McKenna, who called it the strange attractor at the end of time, that place that we can all feel ourselves slowly being drawn in the direction of, that place that the great Ray Kurzweil, author of the book The Singularity Is Near, calls the singularity. We're headed there, my friends, and hopefully my website is at least an homage to that yet-to-exist point in time where we shall be relieved of the hindrances that come from having a meaty body that our soul is enmeshed in like a dolphin in some kind of stinky, hairy net trapped somewhere between infinity and non-existence. Man, it's fun to be a human being. Don't get me wrong. Whenever I get down on the human body, I inevitably will get a few messages from yoga instructors, physical therapists who say, you can't underestimate the beauty, the power, the glory, the sweetness of the human body, which has grown from the universe as a way for our soul to manifest consciousness into this tiny little node of time that we currently are existing in. And I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right. I love my body. I also will get, I don't love my body like I consider my body to be a wonderland. I consider your body to be a wonderland. I consider my body to be more like a kind of slowly degenerating way stop on the highway, like where you weigh trucks or something. Something that's like not that remarkable, but subjectively is crucial for me as I move down the great interstate of existence. But that being said, I'm very glad to have a human body, and I do, at least to some degree, subscribe to the Buddhist idea that it is a very rare form of birth. To achieve a human body is a true blessing. So I don't mean to sound like I am in some way suggesting that the human body isn't special or important when I go on and on and on about the coming singularity and the theoretical potential for human beings to at some point upload their consciousness or experience some kind of technologically induced transformation that makes us no longer so body-centric. I still love the body and I'm so glad to exist. P.S. As an addendum, I also like sunlight. Someone on my forum, which you can find by going to DuncanTrussell.com and clicking on the forum, this will take you to actually an older version of the forum. To go along with the renovation of the website, we have completely renovated the DTFH forum, and now we have a more beautiful, a more technologically advanced, a more convenient to use forum, which if you go to click on the forum link at DuncanTrussell.com and then click on the brand new forum link, you will enter in to the sweet and beautiful waters of the brand new DTFH. That being said, someone on the forum wrote something that I thought was very sweet and poignant, and something that I was actually thinking about as I lay in my hammock this morning, feeling that burning California into the world drought sun blasting down on me. They said, "You can find angels in the sunlight, and technology is slowly destroying our souls." Now, do I believe that you can find angels in the sunlight that encoded into the photons being shot out of the series of nuclear reactions that I will never understand that we call the sun? Do I think that there's angels in there? Absolutely. When I lay out in the sun, I can imagine trillions, billions, quadrillions, quintillions. I don't know which of those numbers or descriptions of numbers is higher, but I can imagine a shit ton of angels blasting down on me from the sun. No problem. I get what you're saying about that. But the idea that technology is slowly destroying our souls, give me a fucking break, man. This is a ongoing theme in the evolution of human beings on this planet, and as we become more adept not only at using tools but at designing increasingly powerful tools, there are always members of our species who sadly gaze upon whatever the newest or highest representation of technology is in the material form with a kind of sad, like the sad Indian, the single tear rolling down their cheek as they look upon the earth and then point in the direction of virtual reality goggles or point in the direction of a hardcore gaming PC with liquid cooling fluid that is running through tubes that make it look like blood. They point in the direction of those things and then they point to the earth and they say, "The earth is better. The fragrance of this sweet mother earth. How long has it been since you brought soil to your nose and inhaled that earthly perfume? Go outside. Will you not go outside and place your hands into that sweet, soft soil? How long has it been since you appreciated a flower with you staring into that virtual reality, frying your brain with the computer screen too close to your eyeballs? You don't even know what that can be doing to you. You gotta go outside and watch a butterfly's lazy ascent as it rises up on some invisible updraft, its sweet and precious wings being inundated by blast upon blast of angel-containing photons raining down upon it from that star we call the sun." Anytime you put those VR goggles on your eyes, a baby rabbit dies, a baby rabbit dies. Junk heaps in China, filled with computer parts. Have you no heart? Have you no heart? DM me, I'll teach you the secrets of nature. My Twitter handle is @parkranger16. The point is, enjoying technology and enjoying nature or the organic external world do not have to be mutually exclusive activities. And I've found that virtual reality is actually enhancing and amplifying my appreciation of just how beautiful and complex and infinitely enjoyable the external organic world really is. Also, P.S., please stop shitting all over No Man's Sky. This is a really fun game that's gotten a really bad rap. For those of you who have read the bad reviews, don't listen to them. This is a super fun game. I've been playing it for about 15 hours now, and it hasn't gotten boring yet. And if anybody out there knows the game's creator, Sean Murray, please connect us, because I would really love to interview him for the podcast. All right, guys, that's it. We're going to jump right into this episode with my friend Zach Leary. But first, some quick business. I would like to express a sincere, radiant love blast of thanks to the Sleep Kings and Queens over at Casper.com for sponsoring this episode of the DTFH. If you need a new mattress, if that old lumpy bag of bed bugs and tears that you've been laying on and making love on is no longer successfully allowing you to enter into REM sleep because it's become a graveyard of lost love and sadness and insomnia and spilled glasses of wine and old Coke straws, then it's time to get a brand new mattress. And to do that, you don't need to go marching down that sad trail of tears that ends at some mattress store in the middle of some dark, dank, and horrid part of your terrible town or city. Not that your town or city is terrible, but any town or city becomes terrible if you have to waste time being hypnotized by a mattress monger who wants you to spend way more money than you need to on something that you couldn't possibly understand. Because who could really understand mattress technology that doesn't work in the gosh darn mattress industry? Nobody. You can save yourself a whole ton of trouble by going to Casper.com/family hour and by entering in code family hour. You'll get $50 towards a brand new mattress. Here's what I have to say about Casper. These are the required talking points. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foam to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. What did we learn today? They give out mattress awards. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It's made in America! All you got to do is go to Casper.com/family hour and enter in offer code family hour. Okay, that's what I have to read. Now, here's the thing. I sleep on a Casper mattress. I don't advertise anything on this show that I don't use. So every evening after I've powdered my bottom with Dr. Williams Lavender Prince salve, after I've soaked my feet in a sudsy foot bath of hippopotamized saliva and rose petals, after I've oiled my nipples down, wrapped them in thread, attached the thread to a door, and slammed the door as hard as I can so I extend my nipples a little bit every single night, after I've waxed my beard, taken out my brown-colored contact lenses that I wear, and gazed upon myself in the mirror, staring into my deep azure blue eyes that have been described by many, many people as being as beautiful as the ocean and the heart of the ocean itself, after I've cleaned out my ears and scraped out all that old pus and earwax and spit and balls of aluminum foil, after I have laid in my vibrational mucus-enhancing device, I then go and place my body softly down upon a Casper mattress. And friends, I have wonderful sleeps and wonderful lovemaking sessions and wonderful cuddle sessions with my dogs as I lay upon this glorious mattress crafted by the noble folks over at Casper.com who are brave enough to allow me to ramble and rant about them on this podcast. So do it. Do you want to try out a new mattress? What do you have to lose? Go to Casper.com/family hour. Use offer code family hour. If you don't like the mattress, if it doesn't work for you, if your imperial ass doesn't like laying on the mattress, then go to some mattress store in heaven. Go climb to some ancient peak and give a bag of rubies and baby skulls to some forgotten god in exchange for a mattress filled with the quivering bodies of some mythological hamster creature that from its vibration induces a deep sleep. Go ahead and do it if you want to do that. Ascend to a mountain peak. Gather up billions of dollars to buy one of your fancy mattresses, you damn mattress snob. But for the rest of us who don't want to fork out all that dough for some overpriced hype mattress, Casper.com's the way to go. Casper.com/FamilyHour. Use offer code FamilyHour and you will receive $50 off a brand new mattress. Yes! We're also brought to you by Amazon.com. There's no reason for you to waste your precious recreation hours going to some disgusting Zika-infected chain store to buy something you could easily order through Amazon.com. It's one of the number one ways to support this podcast. All you have to do is go to DuncanTrussell.com, and on the new website, down on the left-hand corner, you will see a link to Amazon. Just click on that, fly on through the Amazon portal, bookmark that portal, and anything that you buy on Amazon, they will give us a very small percentage of. And oh, there are so many glorious things to buy. For example, you could buy a Razer headphones, which is what I've been using to play No Man's Sky. Or you could buy toilet paper, or you could buy just about anything at all, including a copy of No Man's Sky. Whatever you do, just please go through our portal if you feel so inclined. We also have a shop with t-shirts, posters, mugs, stickers, and other glorious things for you to pick up. And as always, much thanks to those of you who continue to donate to the podcast. Finally, before I forget, we have a YouTube channel now, and I've been doing some live podcasts, including one with Joe Rogan and Brendan Walsh. By live, I mean video podcasts. Just go to our YouTube channel. Links will be in the comments section of this episode. Today's guest is an author and host of a really great podcast called It's All Happening, which is on the MindPod Network. You can find out everything you need to know about him by going to ZachLeary.com. And if you happen to live in the Los Angeles area, he does kirtans, which is the communal singing of mantras, and he's really good at it too. So you can find out when he's doing that on his website, ZachLeary.com. This is his second appearance on the DTFH, and hopefully there will be many more. All links to find Zach Leary will be in the comments section of this episode. Now, everybody, please welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, my friend, Zach Leary. Zach Leary, welcome back to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. Brother, you've just come in from VR land.
I've just come in from virtual reality land, and my God, it was amazing.
Tell me your thoughts.
It was fantastic. I mean, it's so immersive. It is so all-encompassing. It's so visual and spatial, and really fills up your entire environment. And there was even a physiological response, which was the really interesting sensation when we did that whale journey thing. I mean, my heart beat actually, like, it went up. My heartbeat escalated when the whale came in, like, within a foot from me. So it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. There's no question of its potential and of its seriousness in terms of a augmented reality environment. But what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the application? Is it going to go from experiential to utilitarian? That, to me, is the question. If it just kind of hangs out in the experiential realm for a while, I kind of feel that That's always been the problem with VR. It's like, where is it going to live? Where is it going to hang out? If it's just an experiential thing, then I kind of feel it's a little bit limited.
What do you mean, experiential?
Like that, like what we just did. If it's just kind of whale watching and painting and kind of, you know, maybe some gaming, I think in order for it to become a real kind of, you know, addition to our daily lives, it needs to have a utilitarian function. So that's hanging out with other people, like what we did with Gunter's Universe.
1 second. Yeah, so you're saying that there needs to be more of a community-oriented, people hanging out.
Well, what's the tipping point for VR? What's the tipping point going to be? You know, for like MP3 players, it was 1,000 songs in your pocket. You know, that was the tipping point for the technology and for the marketing. There was an idea that everybody could get their heads around, and Apple really capitalized on that, or, you know, whatever it is. There's a million examples. But what's the tipping point idea for virtual reality?
It's porn.
Okay. I mean,
it's unquestionably as vulgar and ridiculous. And I don't mean that as like, it's porn, bro. I've realized with all the other experiences that I've had that here's the thing. Just sitting down, which you didn't get a chance, because you don't own one and you have to, you're over here and we got to do a podcast.
Yep.
You don't get a chance to just hang out in there for a while, right?
Yeah.
So just hanging out in a virtual reality environment whenever you want, just like suddenly your house or your universe now has a little portal in it through which you can step and immediately be in a completely different reality.
Yes.
Just that having it as a doorway is its own form of pleasure, right?
Yes.
Because I know, like this morning I woke up, got a yerba mate, and then put on my VR goggles.
Yes.
Put on Tilt Brush, sat on the floor of my VR space, and I painted a little forest scene with some mountains and a lake. And I just sat there looking down at these mountains I painted. And that was just fun. Now, is that going to like, is that as fun as like playing Witcher 3 or Call of Duty? No way. Totally different thing.
It's a totally different thing, man. I think it's expanding our conception of dimensionality of how many dimensions we have to hang out in, and how many, you know, it's always been said that cyberspace is a place.
Right.
Right. And, you know, John Perry Barlow once famously said, cyberspace is the place you are when you're on the telephone.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so cool. So if you take that idea and you just kind of put it on steroids, it gives cyberspace a dimensionality to it, to which we can hang out. Kids can paint, experience sort of different cultures. It's an alternative to going to the zoo, perhaps. It's an alternative to keeping whales inside of a tank. You know, you can experience it this way.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So to me, it's really all about the setup, which kind of creates the tip. Like right now, it's right on the cusp. I kind of feel VR is right on the cusp of being like a white, nerdy, developer-oriented kind of, you know, pastime, and it needs to get into just the average consumer pastime.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah. But I do, every single person that I have shown this thing to,
they go crazy, right?
They go crazy, yes. And they think, my God, I've got to get one of these things.
Totally.
It's just there isn't enough experience. People haven't had enough experience with it.
Right.
But, you know, there are games coming out for it that are big games. Fallout, the new Fallout is coming out and for the Vive, which we're all looking forward to. So Minecraft works in the Vive.
Yeah. I mean, all those things are great. And yeah, it's like what we were talking about before we started the podcast. It's, yes, people haven't had enough experience, but it's also the marketing. Who is delivering the message? Who's going to convey the message of how this thing works in our daily lives? Like what Apple did with the MP3 player. They were the first, but they were the first to get their heads around the idea of why you need this in your daily life.
Right.
And it created the tipping point. So who is going to be that person to do it?
Well, I mean, it's got to be all of us. I mean, that's the other thing that happens when you go into this thing is your brain immediately starts producing, oh, I want this to exist. Why does this bit of software not exist? This software should exist.
Totally.
There's so many things that you want to build for it that you're just like, I can't fucking, I don't have the skill set. I have no idea how to do it. But I'm already looking into like, all right, how do you design in Unity? I guess I'm going to have to figure out how to use Unity 3D, or who do I talk to? Do I invest money into like producing some of the ideas that I have for it? It is such a fertile fucking medium.
It's crazy. Or what the thing that I was thinking of just now is when I was in there is like, if the Los Angeles Dodgers sold a VR package, VR season ticket, you know,
right,
for the season, and I'm right there, and you know, I'm right in the dugout club,
yeah,
and I'm right there. I don't have to drive to, you know, Chavez Ravine 30 times a year. I'm right there. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that is
exactly, that's what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah, it, man.
It's like it's got to shift from like, you know, just these sort of super nerdy gaming things. I know you and I love them, but that's not the. I don't know. It needs to get for the everyman.
Well, I mean, again, yeah. Once you've...
Porn's a good
which
one.
Porn,
baseball's a good one.
What kind of porn did you experience in it?
Yeah, I did a VR LA thing where I just... it was simulation porn where I was the big black guy with the 12-inch black dick.
Was it... Was it actual...
It was shot in VR, yes.
Stereoscopic?
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's that experience too. Now, a lot of people... Porn exists in a kind of liminal area in people's lives. It's like a food group nobody wants to admit that they're bringing into their diet, and they're bringing it into their diet a lot. When you experience porn, you kind of just forget about it. Right. Some people have ethics attached to it. By now, most of us don't. It's just a kind of thing that you do. It feels mildly degrading at worst, but
it's a thing everybody does, but nobody admits. Yeah,
but most everyone is doing it.
You see the stats that Pornhub puts out every year about all their like the heat maps from all the states.
Yeah.
And
then people know, are insane. Doing it. People,
everyone's
it's,
doing it.
Everyone's
right.
doing it. Yeah. So now there are so many people out there for whatever reason that are not going to have sex this year. And that's sad. That's a sad fucking thing because sex is one of the best things on earth. It's one of the greatest things.
And for a lot of deeply serious reasons, too.
For a lot of serious reasons. And there's some people out there, for example, we could say that there are some paraplegics.
Yeah, sure.
Who aren't going to get to have sex, who aren't going to experience what that would be like. Mm-hmm. There's some people who have... I don't know. They can't leave their house. They have various mental ailments.
Yeah.
There's elderly people whose wives have passed away. There's all these people where sex is no longer a viable option for them.
Yeah.
Suddenly VR is going to let every single one of those people experience sex to some degree again. And God damn it, man, that is a sweet thing if you ask me.
It is a sweet thing. It is a sweet thing. But just to juxtapose it against the sort of risk versus reward ratio, and that is, you know, it's like everything that we're doing with virtual environments that we're creating, including social media. It's the idea like, you know, I'm starting to drop the word artificial from artificial intelligence.
Yep.
It's just intelligence. It's an extension of our imagination.
Yes.
There is no more artificiality. It's just what humans create. So as long as you can create these environments and inhabit these environments without having shame around your material world environment. So, you know, you have the guy who is, yes, he's rediscovered, you know, sexuality, or the woman who's rediscovered sexuality through virtual reality. But I don't want that person to feel like shit about the material world existence and then all of a sudden find pleasure in the virtual environment. To me, there's a level of sadness there. So we need to just bridge the gap of not, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yes.
Yeah, and that's what worries me. And that's, you know, and I'm a technologist through and through, but that's also my sadness around social media. And it's like this ability, like, who are you now? You can be anything that you want this time around, and you're constantly creating identity. You're constantly moving it and shaping it and being anything that you want, which has its it's good and it's bad.
Well, I mean, I think that what you're bringing up is one of the number one worries of the virtual reality naysayer, which is the most modern version of the Luddite. What's going to happen to the world? We need to work on the world now. We need to work on this world. Now, I've heard different examples of this. When you bring up to some people the idea of interstellar travel, right?
I know where you're going.
You know, people are like, no, fix this planet now.
I'm not one of those
people. I know you're not.
Yeah.
I know you're not. But you do, and I know you are you're a futurist. What's cool now is like being a futurist is a presentist, really, because that shit's happening now.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who, when they talk about virtual reality, they say, have you never smelled a flower? Will you go outside and experience reality? And it's like, okay, fine. That argument is, I totally understand from the outside. If you look at the aesthetically displeasing image of a person in their apartment wearing VR goggles, or a YouTube video of someone wandering around with VR goggles, pantomiming a sword fight, pantomiming this or that, it is not aesthetically pleasing. Yet, when you go into the VR environment and your heart swells with this amazing joy upon realizing that suddenly the enclosed space that you're in is just transformed into a cathedral, into even a vast warehouse. Amazing.
It's amazing. And back to the naysayers again, and I'm sort of, in a way, contradicting myself because I just like bringing up the devil's advocate stuff, but it's that idea, that naysayer who's like, well, go out and experience reality as it truly is and get your feet in the dirt. Well, first of all, whatever you think reality is, that's not it.
That's cool.
Let's just accept that.
Right.
You know, so whatever your predisposed notion or construct of what you think this material world is made up of, that's not it.
Right.
It's just an illusion. It's just sort of this construct that we've created for ourselves to inhabit, to play in, to hang out in, that kind of gives, you know, living sort of like some boundaries. I mean, we need some sort of boundaries to make this us spinning on a rock tolerable. You know, so it's just an extension of reality. It's just an extension of it's another way to pierce the veil, really.
To pierce the veil and to teach you exactly what you're saying. It is a technological, you know, Ram Dass talks about this, the famous mushroom trip. He eats mushrooms with your dad, goes into the living room to get away from everybody, sits on the couch. His body vanishes, looks down, there's no body, then who am I? VR. You put on these VR goggles, you sit down, look down, guess what? No body. You're not there anymore, yet you're somewhere. What am I? It brings to mind the identical questions.
It's the exact same thing.
The exact same thing.
It's the exact same thing. And it's like this, you know, this recent Elon Musk a stat that he threw out that, you know, it's a probability that we're living in a simulation.
Yes.
You know, he put out that crazy statistic, and it's kind of, oh man, it's kind of playing into that, to that idea for me a little bit, that perhaps it really is all a simulation.
Can I read something to you?
Yeah.
I just did this. Did I send this to you?
What?
I just did a find and replace on the Book of John's to make it fit into simulation theory. Yeah. Okay. Listen to this. Okay. It's pretty cool. This is from the Book of John. It's my favorite gospel. And I just did this for fun, but it's pretty trippy. In the beginning was the code, and the code was with the programmer, and the code was the programmer. He was with the programmer in the beginning. Through him, all things were programmed. Without him, nothing was programmed that has been programmed. In him was life, and that life was the upgrade of all mankind. The upgrade shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not downloaded it. There was a man sent from the programmer whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that upgrade, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the upgrade. He came only as a witness to the upgrade. The true upgrade that upgrades everything was coming into the simulation. He was in the simulation And though the simulation was programmed through him, the simulation did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of the programmer. Children not born of random code, but born of the programmer.
Oh, man.
The code became flesh and programmed his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the programmer, full of grace and truth. That's cool.
That's fantastic. What a great thing to do. So check this out, man. I'm going to see if it's going to translate verbally, but I was driving around the other day and I was kind of thinking about this Elon Musk thing in the back of my head. I was listening to the Pearl Jam radio station on Sirius. Then all of a sudden, I pull up to a car in front of me and the personalized license plate. I'm just Pearl Jam's on and it's kind of loud. And I'm kind of digging one of the songs and the license plate in front of me reads Eddie V.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, well, that's, what are the chances? What are the odds? But what it was to me, it was the overlord of my simulation just showing me that, it is all a simulation.
Right.
I'm just giving you, it's like Neo in the Matrix with giving those little hints with the black cat repeating itself. And that's what it was to me. It was exactly what you just read. It was just someone just flashing that right in front of me, showing me. It wasn't coincidence. It's not this Earth coincidence control office thing. It was like, oh my God, wow, we are in this simulation. And my programmer, my overlord just gave me a little snapshot of
your programmer is all of our programmers. And
yes, that's true.
I mean, that
we're in this together, by the way.
We are in this together, man. And here's the thing. You realize that the problem with religion or the scripture is that it just needs an upgrade and it's in the language. Because, you know, in those days, they're using the most high-tech stuff that they had to articulate the transcendent. Now, the moment you plug in the most high-tech stuff we have, it's like, oh, shit, that kind of makes sense.
Who said God isn't living in cyberspace, right?
Right.
I find spirituality, I find the one, the manifestation of the one in cyberspace on a daily basis. Who says that God isn't, you know, inherently completely intelligent and aware and is evolving along with the human condition? All of these paradigms that we use to define God, even the ones that we talk about with Ramdas, that, you know, in the Bhakti tradition, are antiquated.
That's right.
They're great. And, you know, and I like them, but they're antiquated.
They're dated.
They're very dated. Even the Bhakti concept of what God is dated. Who said that God isn't, you know, just all intelligent, all knowing, and isn't evolving with us every step of the way and isn't showing itself within this digital realm? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No question.
And see this, this is the way religions start, because the thing about it is the thing. Because I've thought about this, you know, and I've been kicking it around all the time. What will in so many different religions, there's the prediction of the arrival of a Messiah. Yes. And so I kick it around in my head a lot. I like that book by Abraham Maslow called Religious Values and Peak Experiences. It's a wonderful book that kind of describes the peak experience that some people have, and then the kind of disciplic succession is that energy gets transmitted down the line, the dilution of that energy as it passes from one person to the next, it goes from people. So a person has a transcendent experience, the closest people around them, they also have a transcendent experience because it's so potent that that person transforms them. So when you read the Gospels, it feels like you're reading the writing of someone whose consciousness was permanently transformed by contact with this being.
Right.
And then you read that, and then your consciousness gets transformed a little bit too. The energy continues to radiate. Perhaps you have a full conversion experience just from the energy of this being encoded in the language of whatever the particular scripture was. Yes. It can be so potent that it transforms you. So it's like sometimes people come to the world and are no different from a UFO crashing and people finding all this technology that then transforms the particular society that it crashed into. So why does the Messiah? Because then I would think, all right, well, who's the next Messiah? Well, and then I would think, oh, it's going to be a group of us.
Right. That's what Thich Nhat Hanh said about the Buddha, right?
Yeah.
And the next Buddha's in a community.
A community. And yeah. Then I started thinking, like, why does it have to be a community? What if the Messiah is a technology? What if it's, what if it's not even, because it's going to be bigger than what we think it is. It's going to surprise us, right? It's going to be something where we're like, oh, shit, it's not a person. It's
At the very essence, I mean, it's so hard to divorce yourself to look at it objectively without also looking at the pitfalls and, like, you know, we talk about all the time, you know, people just staring at their Instagram all day and not really doing anything out in the world. But these things and their essence, their DNA, their core DNA, right, is about connectivity.
Right.
It's about kind of not only connectivity, but it's about this egalitarian equal points of access form of connectivity and information. Right. So everybody is connected on the same level, and that's Godhead.
Right.
It is. That's exactly, I think that's what the Lord would want. It's not an exclusive club where access to information is only for, the exalted and this whole kind of this ancient sort of patriarchal idea that this guy on the throne sitting in the Vatican is closer to God than you or me because of whatever sort of bullshit lineage kind of thing. I mean,
Well, that's where it gets really cool with VR, because it's like, okay,
right?
Well, next step, right? Next step gets to be augmented reality. But the idea is, it's like, all right, so what makes you so great? Mm. I guess what makes you so great is that you've got this beautiful fucking house. Is that it? Is that what makes you so great? Because you have a physical representation of your vast wealth in the form of your sprawling
big domicile.
You have to use a Segway to ride around in. Guess what, motherfucker? Now I live in a fucking cathedral the size of Jupiter.
Yeah.
I don't even know all the rooms in the house because it's been created by AI. I know there's a billion rooms in this house. So look, then what happens is the current mode of displaying wealth as a means of gaining status in the community.
It vanishes.
It vanishes.
Yes, it vanishes. And also what it also does is it also creates this level of understanding amongst people, because it dissipates that stuff. It creates more of an understanding through different cultures, different lineages, different ways of life, different tribal factions. Like, there's this guy named Joshua Fouts, who's the executive director of the Bioneers. He came on my podcast and he was telling me about this experiment he did in Second Life with getting people to understand Islam. So having, your avatar in Second Life run into people like in burqas or whatever, and found that all these preconceived notions of what you think about Islam, they all kind of didn't really seem to exist within Second Life. You became much more tolerant, you became much more curious, and you just were like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting.
Right.
Now when we walk down the street, when we see someone in a burqa, it's like, oh,
yeah, right.
It gets interesting. So that is more proof that, like, this domicile that you're building in VR and all of these preconceived notions about status and culture, they all just have new definitions, new access points.
It's freedom, man.
It's freedom.
We're talking about freedom. And
we are talking about freedom.
And it's freedom that is infuriating to people who want there to be a biologically determined hierarchy. And because there's a lot of people out there, like, you run into them all the time. Mm. People are like, ah, fucking Bruce fucking Jenner. How dare he turn into a woman? You stay the fucking way that the genetic roll of the dice made you. God damn it.
The Lord made you that way.
That thing, right? Okay. That thing.
Yeah.
That is the era we're entering into right now, where not only as biotech continues to improve, we'll be able to determine, we already are able to determine our gender, but we're going to be able to determine instantaneously once you go into VR without having to get your genitals operated on. You're going to be able to be any sex, any color.
I'm loath to quote Tim Leary, but you can be anything you want this time around.
That's it.
That's one of the best quotes he ever said. And there you go. You know, the only really unknown, the only question mark is, and this is because there's not enough hours logged within all this stuff yet, is that there is this proven sort of unknown variable as it relates to the nervous system. Because in virtual reality, your nervous system, you know, it does shut down. It doesn't operate in the same way, like
right.
your circadian rhythm gets disrupted. You know, your attachment to planetary cycles, to moon cycles, like women in the moon cycles and sun, and
yes.
that all gets disrupted in virtual reality. So that, I'm really curious to see where that's going to go, to see maybe if your nervous system can evolve, adjust. Like if you're spending hours inside of a virtual environment every day, what's going to happen?
So far, what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of fucking fun. That's what I could tell.
Wow.
And it's not a... I mean, I haven't noticed any kind of like radical shifts in my...
But you are going to have a lot of fun. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just had to think. Like the porn thing. Like, so, well, I haven't done it enough. But so far for me, it
you're
doesn't...
You're welcome to have a few minutes alone in this room, Zach.
Awesome. I might take you up on that. Like my level of arousal wasn't really like, I didn't want to kind of drop my pants and kind of get myself
you
off.
You were at a fucking VR. Extra.
Yeah, that's true. It just was like, whoa. I'm like, this is overwhelming. I don't know if it, I don't know.
It's titillating.
I'm willing to try.
It's titillating. No pun intended, on a lot of different levels. One of the ways that it's exciting, aside from just the, you know, pure erotic potency of the thing, is suddenly some part of you realizes, wow, I get this for the rest of my life whenever I want it. And it's cool, man. You're like the whole, like, you know, the whole fucking mating ritual, right? The whole, like, the whole series of actions that a human being must take to mate, whether it on every single...
It's exhausting,
right? Yeah. And a lot of times it produces some pretty like rotten karma for people, because unfortunately, once the sex drive kicks in, their fucking integrity goes right out the window.
Absolutely.
And they just become manipulators. They become self-deceivers.
They have a bad reputation because they're misunderstood, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So in this way... suddenly you remove the karmic disaster that can come from you know, having sex with somebody.
Yes.
Not, and I don't just mean the emotional repercussions, but the obvious disease, unwanted pregnancy, all of these things. So suddenly you realize, like, okay, there's many different gravities on this planet that aren't all based on the gravity that holds you to the earth. There's so many different gravities that go along with all these things that we want to enjoy. There, a lot of these things that you want to enjoy, no matter how advanced you consider yourself, there's still an undertone of complication to most things. So suddenly to be able to experience all of these things, shit, man, what would it be like to... I've never had sex with two people at once. Well, now I have.
You?
I never have, Zach. I've never done that.
Don't.
look at you, goddammit.
You're a famous podcaster.
But that doesn't mean that I have suddenly... Well, no, and it's not...
I'm just giving you a hard time.
But it's also just the like, when you... So when you have sex...
Yeah.
It's not just like you have sex. It's like... there's every moment after you have sex, right?
Right.
And it's like, did this thing that we did it make everyone feel good? Are you guys happy? Do you expect something else? Am I, you know, did I do something wrong? Was it all that neurotic bullshit?
Hence the value of prostitution.
Right. But prostitution. Okay, fine. Prostitution.
Yes.
Again, just with that, now I have to do a transaction.
Yes.
Someone has to pull up into my driveway or come to my hotel room.
Yes.
I have to give them money. They are a human being. You know, they deserve love and kindness and compassion sweetness. And they're sharing with me the deepest part of themselves so that I can feel the bliss that comes from sex, right? Mm. So this is a deep connection, even if you've reduced it to a pure...
to the base level shit.
Yes, kind of. Right? Yeah. So this is one of the great offerings of virtual reality. And so when you realize, like, okay, now I have this... brand new swimming pool to swim around in if I want to, then there is, now you're freed from a lot of the normal complications of human life. And maybe potentially when you get into an actual sexual relationship with a real human being, you're not going to have all the question marks floating around in your head about what would this be like or that be like or this thing or that thing.
Yes.
Because you already know. Now you know. Now you've gotten as close to it as you can, minus the pheromones and the
it's the disillusion of the psychological gatekeepers.
Yeah, it's it's tantric, man.
It is tantric. And I get that.
So you get this like whole, but it's not just that. I'll tell you, the other side of VR is, if to keep going into like the erotic side of virtual reality, which is a massive part of it. The other side of it is actually having sex with a person while being in VR.
Well, yes. Well, that's the e-ticket for sure. Yes. That's, I mean, but I'm just thinking about it, as you're talking, just all of these disillusions of these, you know, previously conceived constructs of everything that we set up in the real world. The sexuality thing, that's a great one, because we all know, I mean, look, today everybody just lost in the app world around dating, swiping right, swiping left. I mean, whatever it is, I mean, I don't do any of it, but it's just, it's a level of sort of insanity.
Yeah.
So if you could sort of break that down and just get rid of the gatekeepers, you know, and make it a little bit more, you know, bring out the humanity. And I like it. And I was also thinking, not to go away from just talking about sexuality, but imagine if you could be in virtual reality within the conventions within the last couple of weeks, right? But, you know, so the conventions are generally delivered to us for the most part. I mean, they do show the complete speeches on the TV, but it's generally delivered to us through the lens of the editorial filter that is MSNBC or Fox News or CNN. Imagine if you just have a full raw feed of the convention, no editorial, nothing, just a raw feed, and you're just walking around in it. Wow. I mean, it changes the whole idea of, you know, media trying to craft, you know, the certain message that is being distilled to you. And I think it would change the cultural conversation in such an amazing way. Because what we saw, I mean, this is the first time, I mean, and I'm kind of being dramatic to make the point, but you know how we've always said that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are essentially just two heads of the same thing. Generally, people like you and I go with that. This is the first time where we've seen that is not fucking true.
Right.
These are radically different platforms and a radically different human being.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, radically different ends of the spectrum here. I realize some of the policy goals and initiatives are the same, but these are two different consciousnesses. So if you're kind of experiencing these consciousnesses within virtual reality, I think the level of like sort of, I don't know, inquisitive understanding or of kind of trying to seek the truth, I think it would increase.
Oh my God.
I think truth seeking would increase.
It's like a new way, like a mad. Now this technology does not exist yet because we don't have the.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about the necessity of some pretty serious fucking upload speeds, man. you know, right. To get gigabytes of data flowing into the world, streaming in VR.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But it doesn't have to be high res, just the ability to move around, and it's great.
But we said that about dial-up 20 years ago.
Oh, hopefully it'll change.
Yes,
it'll change. Here's a new weapon. Imagine this. Imagine if somehow, technology doesn't exist yet, but imagine if suddenly there was like VR cameras the size of like, I don't know, tiny little, like the size of bumblebees, right?
Yeah, sure.
And they can fly. So a new weapon in a war zone, let's say, for example, Israel has started pounding Palestine again, right? So a Palestinian tech warrior releases a swarm of virtual reality drones that fly into the war zone, are virtually undetectable, and anyone who has VR goggles can now witness the war zone firsthand and see everything that's going on.
I'm telling you, it would make the war zones go away. I'm telling you, it would. If people knew that these drones that are constantly being launched are killing, you know, 90% of civilian casualties.
Yeah, yeah.
It would go away.
If the moment a police altercation happens, you release this, like, mist.
I don't know, Duncan. Would it fucking go away? Man, this whole Trump thing has me utterly confused, man. Utterly fucking confused. Because right when I, at the beginning, when this clown announces presidency, I'm like, there's not that many people out there who are just willing just to be racist and bigots.
Right.
And there's a fringe, but there's not that many people out there. Turns out there's a lot of them.
Well, you're talking about a... you're not... It's not a... I don't...
My point is that maybe some people would watch the fucking war machine and go, oh, fucking kill the brown people. I don't care.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I hope you're right.
I don't think
so. I hope you're right.
I think technology is the... Technology is to tyrants what termites are to a house. It will...
There's our bumper sticker.
Very slowly... erode and destroy you. Look what it's doing to Hillary. Look what it's doing to her. Technology, if you are full of shit at a certain level, you're fucked. You are fucked.
What are you talking about? The email thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that, man. Or the DNC. Look what's happening with that, man.
Yeah.
All based on technology, all a result of technology.
Of poorly managed technology.
That's right, man.
Right. But you know what else that specific thing is based on? Not the DNC thing, but her email thing. It's also based on this admission that the level of secrecy that has been exposed by Snowden and Assange is so radical and so severe and so omnipresent that, you know, that handling of sensitive data, like on her own email server. Oh my God. Like, if you think at first, so what if she had an email server? So who fucking cares? It's email. No, it's what was going through that email. I mean, there you are. That's the secrets of the Illuminati are there, man. They're right in that email.
Right.
And so it's exposing this. This is the first time where we sort of had, like, it was always sort of fringe tinfoil hat stuff about, you know, the global kind of current and underbelly of how all this stuff really works.
Yes.
But now it's not. It's public information. Everyone knows.
Yes. And this
technology has brought that out to the forefront.
This goes back to technology being Jesus.
Yes. It's yes. Like, yes. Yes.
Behold. Behold, the mighty brought to their knees, not the mighty brought to their knees, not by people attacking them, but as I can't remember which part of the Bible it is, he who diggeth the pit shall fall in it. Behold, instantaneous justice. Yes. Here we see a being that was breaking the law. And has been exposed. Here, every single cop that is doing these awful things, cops just started shooting black people for no reason? Hell no. No, but now when it happens, world knows instantaneously. So now we see, my God, has Jesus come back in the form of every single person's cell phone, in the form of all these cameras?
There we go again. God being, you know, hyper intelligent, God being an evolutionary mechanism to measure our own humanity with.
Yeah, yeah,
It is that.
And us being tools of that energy.
Well, you know, the old kind of Vedantic thing about Sanskrit mantras or kirtan is that, you know, these mantras, and they use this metaphor that the mantras cleanse the dust off the mirror of your own heart.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, these are just so that's the power of the Sanskrit mantra, the repetition of that. It gets rid of the dust, that selfish ego, tamasic and rajasic buildup that goes around your own heart and creates this egomaniacal way of living.
Yes.
So once again, now we have technology coming in the form of these great examples that you're talking about that cleanse the dust yet again. But yeah. God cleansing the dust.
Just like what they say, right? That when things are imbalanced, Vishnu appears to bring balance to the world.
Right.
Sometimes Vishnu comes as a dwarf. Sometimes Vishnu comes
as a lion or whatever it is. Yes.
Yes. Yep. But what if now Vishnu has come as a microchip? What if Vishnu has come as the sum total?
Well, I don't think we're there yet. I think this is more Shiva energy right now. I think this is kind of Vishnu is not quite ready to manifest. This is Shiva is some fierce destruction of bullshit going on. Right,
yeah.
Now. You know, Shiva just, you know, with the, in full on, you know, Maheshwara form.
Because now, and yeah, it's
intense.
And it's, and it's, and the, and again, you know, there's an, I don't know, why do I keep quoting the fucking Bible, but there's a,
you're on the Bible thing today.
Praise cool. the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But there's a verse in the Bible, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if you look at the way that vengeance is being delivered and administered, it is the most humiliating thing. Because here you have Hillary Clinton, right? We know now a lot about her and a lot about the party that brought her into power that we didn't know before. We may have suspected,
right?
But now we know. So when Hillary Clinton gets in front of everyone and gives a speech, you look at her and you think, man, those are some really nice words, but we know who you really are. You're someone who takes $250,000 to give speeches to bankers. You're someone who breaks the rules that you want us to elect you to uphold. You've broken them, you'll continue to break them, and we're supposed to pretend that's not the case. But we know. We're going to elect you, not because we like you.
Because you installed that other guy.
We're going to elect you because the choice between you and Trump is an awful and sad choice.
But it's clear.
But it's clear, but guess what? You represent a part of the world that is going extinct. And this very thing that you're doing, Hillary Clinton, every single manipulation and move forward that does not uphold the law, every single thing that you do in the long run is destroying you. And will destroy everything that you're trying to build up. And eventually, the people are going to come into power again. That's the way it works.
It is the way it works. But I wonder, though, if like Hillary Clinton is just a man of her time, a woman of her time, you know. I don't want to go on record completely absolving or endorsing Hillary Clinton on all accounts, even though I do think you should vote for her. But I just kind of feel that she was a man of her time, that she's a master of playing the game that as defined before her very eyes. And she's a master of playing that game. She's not a master of rewriting the game. She doesn't have any conviction, really. She goes to where the tea leaves and the polls tell her to go.
Yeah.
Right? So I do kind of think, and one reason why I do think that voting for her maybe might not be such a bad idea is because the polls are pointing progressive and left right now, and that she is maybe she could go that direction. Possible.
Look, it's entertaining as but, Trump is. We're basically looking at like a very simple thing. It's like, who do you want to have the fucking nuclear codes? That's all. That's it. It sucks. It's vile. And people are, and so there's, you know, there's a group of people who are like, no. No. We elect Trump. Let him fuck. It's like throwing a monkey wrench into the thing. Okay, hold on. If I'm in a car that isn't functioning that well, but it's still driving, we're on the highway, we're doing okay, we're not starving. There is no nuclear wasteland created yet by us.
Yeah.
Is your answer as we go down the highway to throw a fucking monkey wrench into the car and wreck it? No. Let the goddamn manipulator get into her fucking manipulated position. Mm. Just don't let yourself believe all the bullshit they're spraying out. Yeah. Let's recognize. Let's adapt. Let's continue.
And rise up.
Yeah.
Band together. Rise up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's always that talk of the most cynical conspiracy-laden theorists out there that, like, there is no hope, your vote doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. The system is just, it's so entrenched in these generations old, just muck. But it's not entirely true. If enough people did rise up, I mean, this is super idealistic, hippie stuff here. But if enough people did rise up and had enough awareness, whether they get it through virtual reality or whatever, you can take it back.
Well, they tried. I mean, the sad thing is, they tried with Bernie Sanders.
They did try with Bernie Sanders, but he lost. He did lose.
Well, but here's the problem. The fucking DNC manipulated.
I understand the manipulations and that the conditions were not set up in his favor and that there were some, you know, contested. But he still lost. He still didn't. He wouldn't have won.
Well, unfortunately, now there's a nice big fat question mark hanging over that loss. And it'll be there eternally because that fucking asshole Strauss dum-dum.
Yes, there's no question. But to me, though, the Bernie Sanders thing, like, I supported him, gave money, the whole thing. But from the very beginning, at least I'm just speaking for myself, I never thought he was going to win. I never thought it was a hope.
Oh, me either.
It was pre-production. This was he wasn't the right guy to take us all the way. You know, like if you look at the polling data, he didn't do well in urban environments at all. He didn't have the black vote. He didn't have the Hispanic vote. He didn't capture the imagination of those people. He was a little too wild-eyed.
Yeah, big deal. But you know what else he didn't have? He didn't have the fucking blessing of the goddamn bankers.
No, he didn't. But whoever's next, man, whoever's next, there's that great chart that was New York Times posted yesterday breaking down the U.S. population and it's a great little infographic, animated infographic showing all the segment of the population. You know, not only 9% of the United States population voted for Hillary or Trump.
Wow.
Only 9%.
Wild.
It's insane. 80 million people, eligible voters, do not vote.
Oh, God.
80 million. Yeah, and so if you break down all of that, plus old people, felons, children, people who don't vote, people who vote in the general but not in the primaries, people who voted for Cruz, blah, 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 the Republicans, and Bernie Sanders, it comes down to only 9% of the people voted for these candidates.
You know what you made me just think? What would be fucking cool, man? Mm. If somebody, some genius software developer, created a hack-proof, foolproof means for people to vote from home on the internet, right? Now, but
there's
wait.
There's gotta be, man.
I know that it's not gonna be adopted, right? But someone makes it anyway, yeah. Right?
Yes.
So that during the elections, people can actually vote from their computer. It's not a real election, but people can actually vote from home.
Yes.
So we see who would actually get elected if we had a working election system versus who gets elected. That would be fascinating.
You're telling me that these phones that could sense your thumbprint right now, that we can't create an infallible voting mechanism? I don't believe it. I believe that the system's too lazy and nobody wants to make it, you know, nobody wants to create that.
It would have to be.
I can't believe
it. It's a tough one, man. It would have to be like, you know, biometric eye scans or something.
But your thumbprint's right here on the iPhone right now. I just can't believe it's not possible. It's like it's the same sentiment as what George Knorr said on your podcast, that these ISIS people have billions of dollars in bank accounts, and you're telling me that you can't disrupt those
right.
bank accounts? Of course you can.
Well, I'll tell you, man, in the meantime,
same thing.
I think in the meantime, what Julian Assange is doing and his theory behind WikiLeaks, which is we expose the information, reform will happen, people will be forced to react. Mm. I think one of the things all of us can be doing is don't be afraid to tell the truth. You don't have to like Hillary fucking Clinton to vote for her. But and because you're voting for her doesn't mean that you can't say, I'm not buying the bullshit you're spewing out
yes.
about the family and love and light. No way. No one who on television gleefully announced the murder of fucking Gaddafi, who was sodomized with a knife and then killed. You've seen the thing where she's like, we came, we saw, he died. Yeah. You don't give a fuck about families. You don't give a fuck about life. You are a murderous, manipulative, navigating monster who has wormed her way into the place where she's going to become the leader of the free fucking world. And to make matters worse, you demoness, I'm going to vote for you. Only because I don't know what Trump is. But so far, I know enough to know.
He's a racist, bigot, xenophobe, sociopath, madman.
I know that I'd like to go to a concert with him, but I don't want him to be in control of nuclear weapons. Trump seems like it'd be fun to go on a camping trip with. No joke.
I'd like to go to hang out in a suite at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn with him.
But
he's all of those things.
Trump,
Duncan,
is someone that I would enjoy spending an evening snorting cocaine with.
And his hot daughter Tiffany. I like her. She's kind of hot.
Hanging out with his snorting cocaine.
And you know they do. Yeah, all of them.
It would be a blast. But I don't. I don't want him running the fucking country. By the way, I'm sorry if it seemed like I just endorsed Hillary Clinton, because really I'm still up in the air about the fucking
thing. I'll endorse Hillary Clinton.
All I'm saying is
you have to, man. He is a racist, bigot, xenophobe, sociopath, madman. He will set 2 generations worth of civil rights and civil justice back. You can say all that about Hillary and her gleeful killing of these weird dictator people. There's no question, but I just don't believe she's that. I don't believe she's that.
She's what?
She's not a racist, evil bigot. I mean, who she's appointing
to the puppet of the banks.
Who she appoints to the Supreme Court, that matters. We have to think about women's rights, black rights.
Well, no, we have to be fucking pragmatic.
Yeah, it's pragmatic. And those things matter.
But I say so to me, what that means is, okay, fine. If these are the choices between some weird chance of a nuclear fucking holocaust or an economic collapse because Trump doesn't have the fucking subtlety to deal with the infinite number of weird relationships that our country has spawned, that means we have to vote for Hillary Clinton. But you can say, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but she appears to be a warmonger.
She is that.
She's a liar. She's bought by the banks. Yes. She's a career politician. I don't trust her. I'm only voting for her in the hopes that during her hopefully only 4-year presidency, someone rises up who represents the people who we can all vote for.
Yes, but exactly. Well, okay. I mean, that is also. I mean, I don't take it as far as you do, but yeah, I do get it. But that is why Bernie Sanders also endorsed her, because that environment, that climate that she can create is still the best environment to where hope and change is possible. That's still the best way to make the soil fertile.
Yeah.
The Donald Trump soil is not going to be fertile. It's going to set us back generations, if we survive it at all.
I mean, yeah.
If we survive it at all.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. In the meantime, while Hillary Clinton is fucking taking off her goddamn shirt so she could stretch out her devil wings in her hell chamber underneath the goddamn White House, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be existing in a beautiful virtual universe where hopefully we can do these podcasts there.
Yes.
That's the next step. And hopefully this new technology will continue to expose every single demonic fucking secret that Hillary Clinton is hiding in her succubus nest. Every single little fucking demon flea and louse hiding in her hair will be shown to the world. And so over the course of her presidency, we will become so sick of this endogenous goddamn corruption in the system that some young lad or lass will rise up.
Well, that's the thing. It's the Bernie Sanders 2.0. Whoever that person is, Bernie Sanders is the greatest accomplishment he did. He gave a national voice to this conversation that was not a mainstream voice before. It was a fringe kind of conspiracy-based conversation up until Bernie Sanders. He has given it a national platform.
You're right, man. And we got to.
That's great.
And we have to stay positive. And you know what? If everything's God, then so is Hillary Clinton and all her weird, manipulative monstrosities. And so is Trump. And
that's right.
And you know
If you're listening, everybody's the guru.
Everyone's the guru, but vote for the fucking guru that's not going to that isn't going to create an apocalypse. Now, all that political shit, I'm sorry if we bored you with that, guys. Zach, tell everyone what we're doing right now.
What we're about to go do?
Yes.
Okay, so 6 months or so ago, Duncan and I were guests in the Gunter's Universe VR talk show thing. It was really cool. We had a really good time. Then after it was over, Duncan had the little soundbite of an idea. Oh, what if we take a headset into a flotation tank? And I immediately got the idea, like instantly got it, because the connection of immersive virtual reality experiences combined with the connection of the physiological change that the float tank creates is going to create this synergistic thing that has not yet been done. So we were like, oh, wow, this is going to be so cool. Let's do it. Jim Hefner at Just Float down the street has a place for us to go. So we're going to go test it out for the first time ever.
And our pal Dustin has manufactured a space.
It's like just a spacewalk. A real simple spacewalk.
Floating in space. So we are going to do that right now. We will report back in and let you know what happens. Who knows? We might not return.
We might not return. But something's going to happen.
This might be the way out. You open that fucking tank door and maybe you step out into the Pleiades somewhere.
Could be the portal.
Free from this meat body. Zach, I love you, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Duncan.
You're the best. That was Zach Leary, everybody. Don't forget to listen to his podcast. It's All Happening. Go to his website, zachleary.com. All the links will be in the comments section of this episode. Much thanks to Casper.com for sponsoring this episode. If you want a new mattress, go to Casper.com/Family Hour. Use offer code Family Hour, and you will get $50 towards your purchase while showing those sweeties over at Casper that you support this podcast. And just thanks for listening in general, everybody. I love you guys. I hope you'll give the new forum a shot. I know for some of you, internet forums seem archaic and weird, but it's actually one of my favorite places to hang out on the web, and I hope if it sounds interesting to you, just sign up for it and see if you like it. Have a great week. I will see you on Thursday with a brand new episode with Connor Habib. See you soon. Hare Krishna.